the podcast with everything paranormal. This is the take two paranormal podcast.
Hey, Joe.
Take two.
Yes.
For a lot of you guys that don't realize this, this is take two because we just recorded a half hour segment. And I looked down and I never hit record.
Oh, my God.
I'm such a dork.
It was a brilliant show. Oh, my gosh. There was no breaks. We just were flowing and then, yeah.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Maybe we have a ghost.
So, how was your week?
The week was good. Very, very busy, as
yeah,
always.
Me too.
Just every week, it flies by.
Yeah.
I mean, just flies by. Like, time goes so quickly. The days go quickly. I don't feel like I ever have any time for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going crazy.
We have this time in the studio where we can relax. And I come in last night to set everything up, and I walk in. I look at the thermostat. It is 87 degrees in here. I forgot to turn the AC on.
Oh, my gosh.
I was going to record a video last night. And I did kind of record a short YouTube or a Facebook video, and it's crap.
Oh.
Don't go and look at it. It's crap. Because I was sweating so bad, and I'm like, it was like...
He's dripping.
It was like four minutes long. I just gave up on it.
Can't even.
Everybody was commenting on, great video. I'm thinking, no, it's not. It's crap. But anyhow.
Maybe they were all drunk at 11 o'clock last night.
Well, it was 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock.
I try to record at 12 o'clock on Friday night when everybody's asleep because that way I can get my live video practice in.
There you go. Well, speaking of practicing, I have a really good story for you, Joe.
What's it got to do with practicing?
Nothing at all. I'm just trying to segue into this funny story. So I'd like to bring you all a little joy. All right. Ready for this one?
Yeah, bring
all
it
right.
on.
Wallingford police received an early morning call of a woman riding a horse on Center Street in Wallingford. Upon arriving, they found the elderly woman actually riding a donkey and totally nude.
Why are they always naked?
I don't know. The woman said that she was on her way home from a private party, which she had been hired to entertain.
Okay.
She's an entertainer, Joe.
Yes.
Elderly entertainer. Upon a search of the tote bag she was carrying, the police found a half-empty bottle of liqueur, several items of erotic leather attire, a whip, and an extendable dance pole.
Oh, my Lord.
The blood alcohol tested at 3.2. Police also found the woman had been released from the state mental hospital in May. Her name is being withheld due to her medical privacy. The woman will be returned to the hospital for further evaluation.
Oh, my God. So.
Where's Wallingford? And why weren't we invited to this party?
I don't know.
Sounds like it's over in England.
So, she was drunk off her ass.
Killing me, Smalls.
So you hire someone to do a dance at your party, and she shows up on a donkey, already nude, drunk, with her whips.
And erotic leather attire.
Ooh, erotic leather attire.
She couldn't get back in it. She probably had somebody squeeze her in it, and then...
Did her donkey have a flat tire?
Maybe she had a flat ass.
She had a flat ass.
Every week.
You need to take the show on the road right out the door. Let me give you a standing ovation.
Golf clap.
So,
thank you,
yeah.
Strokes. Good night. I'm here Tuesdays and Thursdays.
I had a busy week. I was helping out Dad, and I also helped out the cuz. Her husband was in the hospital getting a minor surgery, so she needed her grass cut. So
You did a good deed for the week.
Yes, I cut grass at four different places.
I know.
And
thanks for cutting my grass. It looks fantastic.
And I was like, yesterday, I'm like, I'm getting on the bike. I'm taking my bike to the park. I'm riding my bike. My goal this year was to do a 50-mile ride straight, no stops. And I think I put 17 miles on total this year because I've just been so busy.
We have. We really have. But it's been fun.
I get to the, I went out to the battlefield and I park at the battlefield museum and all that, and then ride the trail into the park.
Okay.
And I get there and there's a train going across the one part of the trail. And I'm like, I never see a train there. All right. So it's sitting there, and it's, of course, it's like one car from the end, you know? And I'm like, okay, no big deal. Just ride to the train and back, and then, you know, ride down the other path and stuff. And I get out of the parking lot, get to the path, and they're doing tree trimming, so the path is completely closed.
Oh my God. I'm like, that is the story of your life,
yeah,
Joe.
There's always something.
Something's always blocking your path.
Yes.
See, that's kind of like a, what would you call that? Symbolic of your
life. Finally, I'm like, damn it, I'm going to ride this bike. I'm going to get on the trail. I'm going to do the 15-mile loop. I'm going to ride the trail. I get there. Nope.
Wah, wah, wah.
The universe put the thumb down on me again.
We need to call Melinda Carver and get some negativity clearing done.
I need some cleaning.
Yes.
Or cleansing, whatever else. Cleaning. I need, she'll grab me, throw me in the shower and say, wash.
You're
but
dirty.
Either that or she'll get out her magic wand.
And her fairy
and
dust.
Beat me with it.
Yes.
Be healed.
We like it. We could go to that erotic party on a donkey. Okay, so had something strange happen in my house. This is kind of relating to the topic of our show today.
Yeah.
So, as you know, I've had several experiences in my house since I've lived there. I've been there 11 years. And my mom and I were sitting at my dining room table. We had, we were planning on going to lunch at this Mexican place down the street, which is delicious, and drink sangria. Yeah, that's crazy. But I wanted to have more than one, but I couldn't because I was driving. But anyway, so I was sitting at the dining room table, and she was sitting there too, and I was releasing an order for work. So I'm on the computer, and I'm just doing this real quick. And we're in my house, and, you know, granted, it was like 90 degrees that day.
Yeah.
Had the air conditioner running, and all the windows are closed, and the doors are closed. Okay, so I'm just setting the scene. So there's no, and I live in a brick house, so it's, you don't hear a lot of outside noise, hardly at all. And we're sitting there, and all of a sudden we hear whistling in the house.
Really?
And I'm like, did you just hear that? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, you heard whistling? She's like, yeah. So I finally have a witness to somebody hearing the whistling in my house. Because I've heard it like maybe 5 or 6 or more times.
Yeah.
Since I've lived there, you know, and it sounds like Dad whistling.
Okay.
But you know what's interesting is Uncle Jim used to whistle too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. It was just weird. Is you know, I finally had a witness.
Uh-huh.
Like somebody else heard this. It wasn't just me. Because I thought, okay, maybe I'm just hearing it in my head and I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Mm-hmm.
But finally, what do you call that? Validation.
Validation. Yeah, that's, and yeah, to hear whistling, and it brings.
It wasn't like or anything like that. It was like a melody almost.
Yeah.
You know how like Dad sings a little song or something, and it was like probably lasted like 4 or 5 seconds.
And Dad's 4 miles away.
Yeah, he was at home. He was in the garage working at home. So I don't know.
I'm gonna have to figure that out.
It was cool, but it was like...
Maybe the guy that lived there before, maybe he was a whistler too. You don't know.
Well, I think so, because the other times that it's happened, I was in my basement. So I have my office in my basement. There's a small bedroom that I converted into an office. And, you know, it's underground. Like, you know, it's a basement. So it's not like, you know, you can get any sound through the walls. And then all of my windows have double paned basement windows, and then they have plastic like frames around them, so there's not a lot of sound coming through.
Yeah.
But I've heard whistling, like, you know how
you
hear Dad whistling outside, he's like
yeah
or whatever it is. But and I would hear, and I run outside because I think, oh, Dad's here, because, you know, before he stopped driving, he would just come over and hang out or whatever. And weird, but it's, I don't know,
so,
but I'm just...
Mom actually heard it.
I was more excited
that
somebody else heard it with me than, you know what I mean? So, I don't know.
The voices inside my head.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that comes back to what you hear about people hearing, like when we're doing our ghost hunts and all that, people hearing voices and stuff. And you think about what it takes to actually hear a sound.
Mm-hmm.
The air has to move in a certain way and goes in your ear and you hear it. You know, how do these spirits manifest sound? Is it a physical sound or a mental sound? You know what I mean? Because we've been in situations at different places where two people in our group are like, "Did you hear that? I just heard someone talking." Like when we're in Tony Packo's, you guys heard the little girl downstairs.
Yeah.
To have several people hear it.
Yeah, now, there were four people and only two of the four heard it.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah.
So
is it a, are the spirits projecting that into those two minds? Or is it actual physical sound?
I don't know. Because, you know, I was just watching this one show the other day about this medium who gets messages from beyond. And they were saying that they hear it in their mind. They don't audibly hear it, mm-hmm. but they hear it in their mind, which is kind of interesting because, you know, as a writer and an author, I hear my characters. So is that your imagination or is that something? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's so interesting. But, you know, how do you, like, I hear that, but how does that get created in your mm-hmm. mind?
I know. That's what I mean. Is it astral projected?
I don't know.
You know?
Oh, got the hiccups again. Why every time we tape a show, Joe's stomach's growling and I get the hiccups every time.
It's paranormal.
It is. All right. So our topic today, after all our ramblings, is basically an interview with your best friend, Dana.
Yep.
So Dana is a bassist for a couple of bands. She's in a band called Dead and Five,
mm-hmm.
Crud. She owns two tattoo parlors, one in Ann Arbor and one in Whitmore Lake, the Lucky Monkey and the Lovely Monkey. And I think she's got about seven other jobs too, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
But just, you know, Joe and I were trying to explore this topic about visitations from, you know, somebody who's passed on, whether you know them or not.
Yeah.
You know, so.
You know, like your experience with your neighbor lady.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about it before on the show, mm-hmm. but it's so bizarre that, and I've tried to find some information on entities showing up
mm-hmm.
and seeing them. And it's just a lot of the stuff. Well, I don't like to do a lot of research on YouTube because it's YouTube.
Yeah.
But everything I was getting was dream interpretation and stuff like that, and which I've had experience with, mm-hmm. you know. But to physically have someone visit you is such a bizarre thing.
It is because, you know, a lot of the stories that we've researched for the show are you're sleeping and they come to you. Mm-hmm. And it's like that's when it happened to me was I was dead asleep. I mean, I was out and then I felt this electricity and this feeling of somebody watching you. But it was the electricity feeling that woke me up because mm-hmm. I was like, this isn't normal.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like sometimes you'll hear like a siren or a train horn or, you know, a loud bang or something outside, thunder, lightning, and you wake up because, you know, it's an unusual mm-hmm. noise. But this was a feeling. It wasn't a sound, which was kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
So, you know, are we, and I'm posing this question to you, are we more susceptible when we're asleep?
Well, yeah, because you're, especially in the today, you know, with all the electronics we have, we're always, you know, we're always looking at our phones. Your mind is so full of stuff during the day that when you sleep, everything shuts down. You get more relaxed. You're more in tune to that and mm-hmm. more open to that while you're sleeping because of all that. You're so relaxed. And
you know, when we have to do a show just about sleep and dreams on itself. But when you were asleep, is your subconscious like open up and that's what you're dreaming? It comes out of your subconscious?
Yeah,
is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is it just interesting because a lot of these cases, people were asleep and that's when something appeared to them.
Mm-hmm. And but, yeah, I've heard so many stories about people that dream about things and a lot of dream interpretation people say it's past lives or future lives, you know. But who knows? I mean, I specifically mm-hmm. dream about the same thing over and over in places I've never been.
Yeah.
You know, and of course I have my dreams where Jackie visits me.
Mm-hmm.
The last one was very interesting. I didn't actually see her, but it was like a mall, like a strip mall. And I went into the store and her dad was sitting there. And I didn't see Jackie and her sister.
Mm-hmm. No, her sister and her dad have passed, yes, right? Okay. Uh-huh. As well as Jackie, for everybody who doesn't know. Jackie was Joe's best friend, and she passed away how many years ago? Maybe it's five?
Been about four or five years ago. So anyhow, in this dream, though, it was weird because we were just in, like, this store, and her dad was there, and her sister was there, and Jackie was there. Mm-hmm. And then, this is the weird part, because, you know, my dreams are always so weird. Imagine in the middle of the room, a round table with three people sitting around it,
mm-hmm.
telling the news and talking about the weather and traffic, because my radio turned on.
Oh, my God.
And it was the DJs sitting around a table doing their broadcast.
Oh, my gosh. But that's what you heard in your dream?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, it was the real radio turned on. And in my dream, I was dreaming about them doing their show. And Jackie's sister's friend, who's not dead that I know of,
mm-hmm.
came up and whispered something in my ear about the DJs being there, knowing her, something, you know, sarcastic or whatever. Huh. But yeah, another weird dream.
It's interesting that the three of them were in your dream.
Yeah, all together.
Yeah.
And her dad's sitting in the chair like normal, like, hey, everything's cool.
Yeah. Hey.
So anyways, let's get into the interview with Dana. I hope you guys really enjoy this. I enjoyed finally getting her wrangled down, because both of our lives are so busy. And it was a time where it was last weekend I recorded with her,
mm-hmm.
and we were going out on the boat, and nice. Her husband had to cut the grass. So I'm like, let's record. So we went into her studio for the band, mm-hmm. which is awesome. It is so cool down there. A lot of posters and skulls. And so anyways, let's get an interview. Hope you guys enjoy it. This is Dana Forrester and me, and we'll be right back afterwards. And I want to welcome to the show my best friend, the awesome, the killer, Dana Deadly Forrester.
Woohoo! Hi, Joe Shortridge, my BFF. This is awesome.
Yeah, we are here in Dead in Five's rehearsal space in an undisclosed country.
It's an underground bunker. It's like Black Ops.
We actually are underground, aren't we?
We are.
We are coming to you from 6 feet under.
6 feet, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of you guys don't know, but Dana has been on almost every single show since we started.
I have?
Yes.
I don't think I know this.
The intro music.
Oh. Yeah. What an honor. Yeah. We are so honored.
There was only like four shows that we didn't use Dead in Fives or 60-Second Crush music.
Damn you. Damn those shows.
I know. Well, one was Who Let the Dogs Out?
Okay.
For the Big Dog Paranormal one. And a few others that I can't remember right now. So
we'll never let that happen again.
I know. What we need to do is get you guys to record us a real intro song.
A theme song. Yeah. We'll write a 222 Paranormal podcast, like Batman style, like theme song.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do it. We're getting ready to go to the studio, so let's do it.
So a lot of people out there going, okay, why is she on? But I've been listening to your stories for years, and I kept saying, we got to get you on. So let's hear some stories.
Okay, so for those of you that don't know, I have some ghosty stories. So, and, you know, I've always had an open mind towards the supernatural and the paranormal. I studied tarot cards when I was in my early 20s, and it was wild. I would read them for myself, you know, or my friends, and they would be true. But I didn't start really having ghost experiences until later in life. And the first thing that happened wasn't directly in me. My mom, who's my hero, an amazing lady, she married her second husband, and he tragically died in a plane crash about 6 months after they were married. It was horrible.
Wow. I didn't know about that.
And she, when he died, I was living in San Francisco at the time, and I got this horrible, you know, phone call that he had died. And, you know, as the weeks progressed, I found out more details that he had been in a small plane. He was piloting a small plane to Gaylord, Michigan with three other friends of his. They were all Ford Motor Company executives. Okay. They went on a golfing trip. And he had many hours of piloting experience. So he was a seasoned pilot. And what happened was the plane took off. It caught on fire. They still don't know the cause. Okay. And unfortunately, it crashed and they all died. Now, my mother when she found out, she told me this later, that she knew something was wrong. She had stayed behind and she was at home and all her clocks stopped at, I think it was, I'm getting chills telling you this. I don't know the exact time, but let's just say it was 3:03.
Okay.
All the clocks stopped and our dog, who we had a dog named Fred, and her husband had been really close to our dog, you know, obviously closer to my mother, but when they got married, he was really happy. He had never really had a dog growing up and he were just really bonded. We had this lovable mutt named Fred and the dog was howling. So at 3:03, the clock stopped. We had these grandfather clocks in the house too, and they're clanging and stopping and the dog's howling and she just knew. And then about a half hour later, two policemen came to her home and told her.
Ooh.
So she was devastated. My mom, her background is, you know, we used to talk about sort of the afterlife and, you know, God and what do you believe in? And she'd be like, I don't know, I'm afraid. So she really didn't have any strong sort of feelings on, you know, heaven, hell, angels, devils. You know, our background is Jewish, but she really hadn't, she didn't have that much of a spirituality to her. Well, that all changed within a few months, actually a few weeks after her husband died. She started getting these phone calls. And I'm just, for the sake of privacy, I'm not going to tell you his name. So we're going to use the name Scott.
Okay.
So she'd get a call from this, a friend of, you know, a mutual friend. She's like, Margo, I don't want to scare you, but Scott came to visit me last night.
Oh, okay.
And my mom's like, what? Mm-hmm. She's like, he sat on the end of the bed and said, tell Margo everything's going to be okay. And so my mom would think, oh, wow, that's really strange. Well, things got really, really strange. More friends would call, and they didn't know that the original, you know, person had called and be like, Margo, you're going to think I'm crazy, but Scott came to visit me last night, and he said, tell Margo everything's going to be okay. And my mom, like, these calls kept coming. He kept visiting. I was living after the funeral, I went back to San Francisco and I was all freaked out. And I'm like, Scott, if you're going to come to visit, please don't come in the middle of the night and sit on the end of my bed. I am just not going to be able to handle that. Come in the day. I'm happy to talk to you. So he didn't come to visit me, I think, because, you know, he knew I'd be freaked out. But my sister and her husband at the time, Scott used to wear a very distinctive man's cologne.
Okay.
And they were staying with my mom after Scott died to help her, you know, get used to his death. And they would take Fred, the dog, for a walk. And they said they would get the most powerful scent of Scott's cologne.
Cologne, yeah.
And he used to smoke cigarettes. We weren't smokers. He was the only person that smoked. So they'd be out walking outside, and all of a sudden there'd be this wafting of this cologne and cigarettes with the dog. Well, we thought this would be the end of it, but then Scott started to visit my mother. And this is what really changed everything. One day she was sitting in the house that they lived in, and there was a sitting room with a TV. They used to watch TV together. They'd been together 6 years, but they'd only been married 6 months.
Okay.
And she dozed off, and she woke up, and all of a sudden he was sitting next to her. And she said he looked just like three-dimensional, just like him. And she's like, oh, my God, tell me, you know, this was all a nightmare. You're here with me. And he talked to her, and he talked about the plane crash, that he didn't know what happened. He felt really bad. He didn't know how it happened. They hugged and embraced and told each other they loved each other.
As if he was a physical being. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, she goes, okay, well, let's go upstairs. Let's go to bed. Maybe this is all a nightmare, and we'll wake up and this will have all been just a nightmare, and you'll be here with me. And she went to turn to grab his hand, and he was gone.
Okay.
Isn't that...
So he came and said goodbye.
Yeah.
And they hugged.
Yeah.
As physical beings.
Yeah. And said they loved each other. Because, you know, one of the awful things about, of course, the plane crashes, there was no closure or goodbyes.
Yeah.
So how beautiful is that, that he came to say goodbye?
And there's so many people, you hear the stories of them, either dreaming about them, like me with Jackie, and... But to actually have a physical person or being come there and be able to, it'd be different too if you were said that he was there and she went to hug him and her arms just crossed right through him. Then it would be more of like, am I going insane?
Right.
But to actually hug and feel him.
Yeah.
And then for him to leave.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that changed everything for my mom. I mean, to know, to have that closure and... Interestingly enough, she said a few weeks after that, she did have some conversations with him where she could kind of hear his voice in her head, but then he was gone. And that was so comforting. You know, he visited her friends. I think he just was really concerned about her, mm-hmm. you know, that the tragedy of this accident, and that he wanted to make sure she was okay. And he finally was able to say, tell her he loved her. And that really helped in the mourning process, yeah, and the closure. Definitely. So, and it gave her a gift. You know, we talk now, you know, now he's been dead, I think, over 20 years. And, you know, he gave her the gift. She goes, I don't know what's out there, what happens when we die, but I know there's something.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm not afraid anymore. And I definitely believe, I know there's something.
Mm-hmm. And that's one great thing about that is he did not come to her first. Even though you think, well, yeah, wait a minute, why didn't he come to, yeah, her first? If he would have came to her first, she'd probably be still in therapy right now.
Yeah, exactly.
But he came and kind of prepared her for that visit.
Yeah.
By visiting the friends and all, and by collaborating, friends that don't talk to each other,
yeah,
say, yeah, he came and visited me. And,
you know,
it's like working up to that.
What's interesting, you saying that now, I never thought about that, but I think that is exactly right. That, mm-hmm, that prepared her so she wouldn't have like fallen over in shock to, yeah, see him, because other people, that is... Joe Shortridge, that, you're brilliant. Yeah, that would, yeah, yeah, exactly. Wow.
Because lots of times you hear of spirits appearing to people, and they always appear to the person how they want to be seen. Do you understand?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you're familiar with this. There was a story that we talked about on one of the other shows where a little boy kept saying, there's grandma, there's grandma. And they're like, grandma doesn't look like that.
Yeah.
She is old, and you know what I mean?
Right.
And he's like, no, she's really young and she's got long hair, and you know, but she appeared to him as something that would not scare him. Now, let's say if she appeared to him as a big blob of smoke, it'd scare him.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think that's the same thing, is where they were, he was preparing her for, yeah, that visit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that was pretty much probably the most influential sort of paranormal. Hearing it from my mother, who's, you know, just so you know, my mom's a lawyer. So she's she's a very no-nonsense lawyer. She's retired now. But, you know, she was not into all the New Age stuff and, you know, supernatural stuff. But this definitely changed her life and, you know, made her open to that after, and gave her the gift of not being afraid of death,
exactly,
anymore. But later on, I had some other paranormal experiences. So my mom also, and my aunt, my cousins, we all went to, maybe some of your listeners have been there, to Savannah, Georgia, mm-hmm, which is a very, very haunted. You've got
to
go.
Listen to me. I'd love to go there.
Let's be
there.
Well,
I would
now.
Love to be there right now, too. Yeah.
But that would be a great place for any kind of ghost hunt. The city is super old. I don't know all the history, but you can just feel it in your bones. And, you know, this place is clearly haunted.
Yeah.
But we went and stayed at an old hotel, and I didn't know, you know, I just went along. The reason we went was, I don't know if any of you guys have read or seen the movie, The Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
Okay.
It's a great movie. It's a murder mystery, but based on a true story in Savannah, Georgia, about a murder that involved a very wealthy, high-profile Savannah person. And it cast some of the real characters in Savannah. And Savannah, the city, plays a very important backdrop.
Okay.
In the city, and in that it's beautiful and old. It's, you know, they have these plazas and a lot of wrought iron architecture, very evocative of sort of New Orleans. They have that Spanish moss hanging off the trees, so it's very eerie looking. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, I went along. They do this annual spring home tour, and my mom's like, "Why don't you come with us? You can look into some cool old historical mansions." You know, they do it every year to celebrate the book and the movie, and I'm like, "Sure, why not?" So I knew nothing. We went to stay in this hotel. And I got really sick. I had like not quite the flu, but a very bad respiratory infection. It started raining really hard. They were going to all go out to dinner. And I just was not up to it. You know, when your chest is heavy,
yeah,
and, you know, I don't know if I had a fever. I just was not feeling well. I was like, I just got to rest. So they all left and I'm alone in this room. And I kept hearing like, so the bed, you could see the bed was like, it was just a one room, you know, it wasn't a suite. It was a one room hotel room. And my mom and I shared a king bed, and my aunt and my cousins were in another room. And I would lie down and I kept hearing the door of the room open and close, open and close. And I kept getting up. And at one point I opened the door, you know, and I opened it, looked out in the hall because I'm like, why? I keep hearing this door. It opened and closed, open and closed. It was a very distinctive sound, and this went on all night. So they finally get home, and I'm like, God, I couldn't get any sleep. This, I don't know whose door, if it was, it sounded like our door was opening and closing. And then the next morning at breakfast, I'm talking to my cousins, and they're like, oh my God, we are safe. In the room kept opening and closing. And we heard this bouncing ball, like somebody was playing with this giant ball above our room all night long. So the next day, you know, we do the tours. The next day, you know, and we didn't Google the hotel or anything. You know, we didn't do any advanced research. We weren't looking for anything. We just thought, wow, what an odd hotel. So we're checking out. And I hear the some of the hotel staff talking to another guest, and they're talking about ghosts. And I said, oh, you know, is this place haunted? I said, because we heard some interesting noises. He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, a little boy fell out of a window, and sometimes you can hear a bouncing ball. He plays in the hallway.
Awesome.
And I go, really? Wow, because we heard a bouncing ball. And I said, what room was he in? And I'm getting chills telling you. And it was our room that he had been in, which I'm really glad I didn't find out till after, because I don't think I would have gotten any sleep. So isn't it wild?
Yeah.
I don't know why the safe kept opening and closing. But you know what's interesting, too? My cousin, Laurel, she had been to Charleston, which is another very known haunted city, and was also in an old hotel. And her story with her husband, they were staying the night. And, you know, the TV would come on in the middle of the night, like that static.
Yeah.
And then it would come off on and off. And then, this is so freaky to me, she woke up. She had her wedding and engagement ring on the like, dresser. And she woke up, and they were, like, crushed. Instead of circles,
They
were ovals. Like somebody had crushed them. Isn't that creepy?
In the middle of the night. And for the amount of pressure it would take to crush a ring like that.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
That's almost like fairy folklore.
Do they? Because
the fae folk and all that, they like to take trinkets.
Oh, really?
And if you ask very nice for them back, sometimes you get them back. But they're known to take stuff.
Well, that must explain. I lose stuff all the time. But then it mysteriously reappears in my home.
Oh, yeah. So that could be a trickster ghost, you know.
Yeah.
But I've heard that a lot where people lose stuff and... You'll find them in like on top of the lampshades or weird places.
Wow.
But for them to actually bend the rings like
and
that.
And they were like, they're solid gold. I mean, they're great quality. They're not like, you know, gumball machine rings. I mean, this is like 14 karat or high, you know, higher gold. I mean, so the pressure to do that. But then I'm just thinking, how angry are you? Angry ghost? You're crushing her, you know, wedding ring and her engagement ring. Like, you know, luckily they only stay there the night because I would be like, no.
There was a jaded lover, a bride that her husband or fiance left her in the hotel.
Yeah, could be. So more recently, and I had told you this, so I had a very unusual experience. So, you know, I'd heard ghosts, I heard ghost stories. I was open. Actually, I have to preface this story before I tell you my real visual ghost story that freaked me out. I forgot to tell you this. When I was growing up, I had this friend named Cheryl Bard. If you're out there, Cheryl, you're an awesome friend. We were in elementary school, and we used to take the Ouija board. I always tell people, do not play with the Ouija board.
That's one thing we always say on the show. But to each his own.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
so Cheryl and I had just met, and I think we were in fourth or fifth grade. And we used to go into the closet. I think it was either at my house or her house. We would light candles. Well, I can't say we would do this. We only did this once because you'll hear what happened. So we lit candles and we got the Ouija board. And, you know, we're thinking, wow, well, cool. Let's talk to some ghosts. Woo. All of a sudden, I got chills. I'm getting chills again telling you this story. And again, we're just kids. And I don't know much about Cheryl, but she's nice. She's willing to do the Ouija board. We owned the Ouija board. My brother, my older brother, who would corrupt me with all things rock and roll later in life, he had gotten the Ouija board. You know, so I get the Ouija board. We're in the closet alone with the candles. We have our hands on here. And we start asking questions. And the Ouija board's going all over the place. And my hands are freezing. And I am chilled. And what I remember was we ended up, I didn't know this, Cheryl's dad had died about, I don't know, a year or two prior during surgery. And I had no idea. And we ended up getting him because he starts talking to Cheryl and I'm not sure what is going on.
Yeah.
And she's on the verge of tears. And I'm sort of flippantly, because it's not hitting me what is going on, flippantly asking, you know, well, you know, I think I said, show us a sign that you're really here, you know, blow out our candle. No. I go, blow out our candle. You know, I'm this cocky little kid. And I will never forget this. And he said, powers of the ghosts are not, or powers of the spirit world are not to be fooled with. Really? This is not a game. You know, you need to stop.
Yeah.
And I'm getting chills again. I was so, she's in tears. I didn't know about her dad. I felt so bad. And I never picked up that Ouija board again. No. I mean, it was just, he was like, you just have no idea what you're doing.
Oh, I know.
And you can get into some, can get some bad mojo, you know.
We've mentioned that on a previous show about the Ouija board, and we went over all the they don't know if it's a demon or a deity that comes out of one.
And I think there's different. I think it allows communication, and it can be, you know, you're asking questions, you know, when am I going to marry? How am I going to die? All this blah, blah, blah. You could get anybody on there. Just because you're dead doesn't mean, you know, you're this awesome person. You know, you could be a bad dead person.
Yeah. But we talk about the Ouija board, and we also talk about like our spirit boxes and our communication devices. Yeah. And that's pretty much modern day Ouija boards.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for some reason, the Ouija board is like different because, okay, they sell it as a toy.
Which I think is the big problem. It's sold at Toys R Us for kids as a game. Kids are vulnerable. They're also the most open to supernatural
That's what I was going to say.
And I mean, so they're, I mean, you could just draw some bad shit.
Yeah. And there's 90% of the spirit are good. I mean, when people talk about demons and all that,
right?
Even when you talk to a demonologist and stuff, it is so minuscule.
Good.
But the Ouija board is known to bring out a deity, and it's been documented for years to bring out this one, and the Ouija board just starts spelling out his name and cross cultures and all that. Mm-hmm. So for some reason, the Ouija board brings out the evil.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but you know, maybe it was because of its origin, because it originally started out, talking boards have been around forever. The American Indians used them. But it started out as a basket.
Okay.
With a heart-shaped basket with a pencil on the end. And these talkers would put their hands in the basket, and it would spell out words. Well, 90% of the time back then, they were summoning the demon.
Wow.
So maybe that's why. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, any parents listening to this, I would not buy it for your kid. No. I mean, I think ghost hunters like yourself and your sister, Jen Shortridge, you know, using those tools in a responsible adult way, but it kids as a game, you know, you don't know what you're opening yourself
and
up to.
Every time kids use it, they're not doing it to do research. They're doing it, let's summon the spirits, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're giving them a tool that they don't understand.
Yeah. And it could be not so good. So later in life, so let's flash forward to 2 years ago, my husband, who's the drummer of Dead in Five, James Trunco, awesome, awesome man, him and I moved, we were very fortunate, we moved into this beautiful home, and the home was built in 2001, so it's not that old. You know, when you walk into a place and you feel haunted vibes and stuff, didn't feel anything here. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to joke, like, this place isn't haunted. You know, it just had just warmth and happiness. And
that's, I'm sure I've told you this a few times, but I'm so proud of you guys to move. If you guys would see, still wanted to take a picture of your old house.
It was semi-ghetto-y.
It was in the Detroit metro area, and you guys moved up 100%.
We did.
I'm so proud of you guys.
It was some rock and roll, angel, miracle stuff.
Yeah.
All the stars aligned, and we were able to get this house. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was so wild. You know, I believe in sort of divine order and rock and roll miracles, and we were able to buy this house with zero down. I mean, I don't know, just all the stars aligned. It was remarkable, and we're very, very grateful. So I didn't expect any haunted action here, you know what I mean? And I just never even really occurred to me. You know, our old house had been built in the 1920s, had been one of the original houses on the Detroit-Ferndale border, and I expected ghosts there, actually, but never had any. But I was like, hey, you're here, you know, hey, say hello, you know, I don't know. It was from the 1920s. But this house, I never expected anything. So one night, a couple years ago, I'm lying in bed. Well, I'm sleeping, and my husband, you know, we're sleeping, and our dogs sleep in the bed with us sometimes, and everybody's passed out, and at about 2 in the morning, you know, when you feel somebody looking at you, I felt it.
You get that right out of,
yeah.
You're sleeping, yeah. All of a sudden you wake up, you're like, what?
Yeah, I felt it. I was pulled out of my sleep. And I look and standing, I'm getting chills again. It's interesting when your own stories are freaking you out, but they still freak me out. So I look to the right and there's a boy. He's looks about 13 years old. He's sort of in black and white. He's not in full color. He's wearing clothes not of this era. He's Caucasian. He's looking at me, but kind of looking past me.
Okay.
And he's like three-dimensional, like fully fleshed out, even though he's not fully colorized. And I look at him and I am terrified. And I turn to the left to like shake my husband awake. And I'm thinking my dogs who wake up at the drop of the hat, you know, they'll bark at everything. Everybody's passed out. And I shake my husband. I'm like, James, James. My heart is just beating. And I look, James wakes up and the boy is gone. And I was so freaked out. One, I was mad because, like, look, guys, what if an alien was trying to abduct me in the middle of the night and probe me in places I don't want to be probed, and y'all are just sleeping?
And the dogs are like, leave us alone. Let us sleep.
But it was real. He was real as day, and I did not sleep for the rest of the night. I mean, I was so freaked out. I've never seen anything like it. And I don't think he was there to hurt me. You know, now I wonder, you know, was he a messenger of, you know, I had a really rough 2 years after that, my mom ended up getting cancer of her eye, a very rare cancer. Yeah. Luckily, she's doing, knock on wood, remarkably well now. She had to lose her eye and, you know, get treatment. And myself, I've had some health issues, but I mean, I'm going to live. I'm just more about coping with some changes in my life. You know, and I thought, you know, looking back, was he a messenger? Like, I don't know. You know, you try to make reconcile. Why did he come and visit me? And some people have said, your house is full of love. He was attracted to the love.
That's
he was
possible.
Passing through. I did do some Googling to find out if anybody had died here. Or there was a boy that unfortunately was murdered around age 13.
Mm-hmm.
But in the 1970s, riding his bike. And this dress was not from the 1970s. Yeah. So it wasn't him. So
well, yeah, it's hard to say because we could say, well, maybe there was a farmhouse on this property and he was residual haunt.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't see him just once.
Yeah.
And he was standing next to your bed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if it's residual, for one, he's not going to notice you're there. Two, it's going to be like a loop. It'll just play over and over, and you'll see him walking through the wall or something. But, yeah, for him to just be there. And, you know, did he say anything to you?
Nothing.
Or telepathically?
No.
Or nothing?
I didn't get any feeling. It was weird because, again, he was looking kind of past me. I'm not sure what he wanted, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wonder if he was trying to warn me of my next 2 years, which were going to be very rough. I don't know, you know. And, you know, the next day, you know, I talked to my husband about it. I talked to some other people, and we asked him to, you know, go to the light if you're still hanging out or if you want to visit, you know, come during the day. You know, just these. Why do they come at night, Joe?
I don't know. And why don't they clean the house?
Why don't they clean the house? That's awesome. Why don't they clean the house? I'll ask him next time. But I'll tell you one last ghost story. Can
okay.
I do that?
Yeah.
And we can wrap it up. So during the 2 years, the rough 2 years, we were fortunate and we bought two buildings to open. We have tattoo shops. One is called Lucky Monkey Tattoo in Ann Arbor. It's been around for 15 years. It's awesome. But our lease was doubled and we had to find a place to move it to. So we were fortunate to buy a building for that. And then just the gut instinct, a building came up for sale in Whitmore Lake and we had always wanted to open a second tattoo shop for women who've undergone breast cancer, who've had breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
They have their breasts removed. You know, to remove the cancer and they get reconstruction. Well, these women typically need realistic nipples and areolas tattooed on them. And right now, physicians or physician's assistants or nurses are doing them the tattoos and they're not trained. So aesthetically, they just don't look good.
I didn't know they were doing that.
Yeah, yeah. I think University of Michigan even has a machine that does it. And that just horrifies me that this machine is.
Yeah, because it's.
Oh my God.
That could be a whole show.
Yeah, it's horrible. So we had started to get requests at Lucky Monkey to do this. And, you know, Lucky Monkey is a great shop, but it's got skulls and daggers and dragons. Yeah. And, you know, these women who've been through so much, you know, with the breast cancer and fighting to survive, you know, they don't want that environment to help them feel normal and beautiful again. You know, feel like themselves, look in the mirror and not, you know, feel good. So we got the opportunity. We had an investor and he bought this building for us that we turned around and bought on a land contract. Well, we had heard this building and we were able to open Lovely Monkey. So we heard that the building was haunted.
Yeah.
It's from the 1890s. And if you go in the basement, it's one of those Michigan basements. Super scary. It scares
low
me.
Low ceiling and dirt.
Dirt.
And there's a giant hole in the middle that looks like it was a fresh dig.
You're freaking me out, Joe. I mean, so.
It's where the bodies are hidden.
It could be.
Sweeney Todd all over again.
So the only real history we know of this building was that there was a woman who had a five and dime there, and her name was Maxine. And, you know, she ran the place. It seemed to be well-liked. And, you know, I don't know if she died there, but many years passed. It had been a massage parlor. And then by the time we had gotten it, it had been empty, at least the bottom half, for 3 or 4 years. It had been completely empty. So we bought it. We were fortunate. We were renovating the shop. And the old rental tenant, the massage place, Sandy's, who actually moved next door, started telling me, she's like, oh, you know, this place is haunted. And I'm like, really? She's like, yeah. So she started telling us stories. So she'd be massaging her client. And let's say she's massaging the shoulders. And the client would be like, Sandy, wow, it feels like you have four hands. How are you massaging my shoulders and my feet at the same time? So Maxine, we're assuming it was Maxine, would help do massages.
Yeah.
But Maxine also, she was very good. She would look out for Sandy, and Sandy had some employees that were stealing from her, and one in particular kept getting locked out of the shop. Like, she'd go outside, and the door would slam, and the latch would turn.
Yeah.
And this kept happening, and then Sandy would find out this employee was stealing from her because, you know, the employee would be like, I keep getting locked out, you know. So, and then the doorknobs would shake, and so Sandy told me recently, man, I miss Maxine because she looked out for me. Well, recently, so when we were working on the shop, you know, I would be working in there sometimes alone. You know, we're scraping and painting and putting in hardwood floors and working on the shop. And sometimes my husband would run out to get stuff. Joe would help paint. But I'd be alone in there and I'd think about Maxine and I'd be like, Maxine, please don't freak me out, you know. So I didn't really have anything happen until... So about 6 months ago, we opened last September, or more towards October. And so my artists started, we have three tattoo artists, and they started talking about this cat.
Yeah.
They kept saying, we call this cat Ghost Cat. So three of them independently, it was actually two of my artists and one of my artists' boyfriend, independently told each other, oh my God, did you see that cat? They kept seeing a black cat in the hallway. And there was no cat, you know, but the three of them all saw it. And what's really interesting was my other tattoo artist, Jamie, so she didn't know about Ghost Cat. She hadn't heard about it. So she's in her room tattooing, her private tattoo room. And all of a sudden, she had a hoodie on hanging on a hook. All of a sudden, the hoodie's on the floor. Okay, weird. There's no windows in this room. Yeah. There's no way that a breeze could blow this. Okay, so the hoodie's on the floor. I can't explain this. Okay. Pick it up, put it back on. So when tattoo artists tattoo, they usually have like a stack of paper towels because they're wiping, you know, the blood and cleaning as they go along. And they have she had a stack of torn sheets of paper towels neatly on her tattoo table. All of a sudden, she said, it looked like the paper towels started like flying. Like, imagine a cat's paws, like trying to paw them off the table.
Like,
you know,
all cats do. Yeah. Everything that's on a table, they'll knock off.
And it was flying. These sheets were flying all over her room. And her client and her are like, oh my God. And they didn't know about Ghost Cat. So they have no idea what's going on. Well, she told me what was happening. I'm like, oh, must be Ghost Cat. Doesn't that sound look like what a cat would do? And she's like, oh my God, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So my beloved husband decided to go have a talk with Ghost Cat and said, look, Ghost Cat, you can stay if you want, but maybe you should go to the light. You know, you can hang out, but we don't want you to scare us or mess with our materials. So since he had a talk with Ghost Cat, we didn't see him.
Okay.
So The final thing that has that happened there about 3 months ago, I was there. On Sunday nights, the artists will have an art night. So they'll invite other artists to come.
Okay.
And they'll do painting and illustration and photography. And it's just a way for artists to hang out and be creative together. Yeah. And I was hanging out with some of the artists just to chat before, you know, I went home. You know, I had to pay my tattoo artist. And I'm chatting with this artist, and it's real late. Nobody's on the street. The other artists are all in the back, and we're chatting on the couch. And all of a sudden, the door opens and slams super hard, and we have a bell, and the bell's just ringing. And I was like, wow, Maxine must not really like our conversation about art. Maybe she wasn't really into art. But it freaked me out. When things like that happen, it's mm-hmm. just that are so in your face, and there's no explanation. You know, there was nobody outside. We have a big window on the door. You can't in big windows up front. You know, nobody was outside. Nobody touched that door, you know, and it happened right in front of us. So,
you know, and when we were making when we were working in there, remember what we were putting the pictures on the walls?
Yeah.
Coming the next day, and the pictures were on the floor.
I forgot about that.
And they're held on by drywall screws.
Yeah. That was freaky.
Yeah. And it happened in two separate rooms.
I totally forgot that. And you just reminded me, we had an electrician come in and his partner came in, and we had not said anything about the history of the building. And the guy looks at me and he goes, this place is haunted. Ghost much? And I'm like, really? Why do you say that? He's like, oh, you got ghosts.
Let's go to the basement. We'll show you the basement.
Well, that'll have to be, you know, another show. Let's definitely do that and see what you guys can get. You and Jen, get you guys out. So those are my ghosty stories.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm so glad we got together down here in the studio, in your guys' studio. Got to bring all my equipment, all three pieces.
Oh, it's nice. He's got good stuff.
And but thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks, Joe.
All right, so before we get off here,
tell
everybody where they can find your find your tattoo shops and the band.
And the rock and roll.
That everybody has heard.
All right, well, Dead in 5, you can go to deadin5.com or facebook.com, Dead in, you've got to spell 5, F-I-V-E. The tattoo shops, luckymonkeytattoo.com, lovelymonkeytattoo.com. We're also on Facebook. And I'm also in a band called Crud, and you can find us on Facebook/CrudDetroit, and we're a cool industrial rock band, too. So I'd love you guys check it out. Shoot me a message on any of those Facebooks. I respond to them if you want to get in touch, but I'd love to hear from y'all. So
yeah,
thank you.
And if anybody out there knows someone that needs some tattoo work.
Yeah.
World famous.
Yes, yes.
Lucky
very,
Monkey.
The world famous Lucky
or
Monkey.
If you know anybody that would like some help with their breast tattoos.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because you mentioned, oh, yeah, we do nipples.
I know.
And you think, but you know what? It's such an important thing, and it's helping so many people.
They are transformed, these women, and it's such an honor to be able to help them in that way. And the shop is so lovely. You know, that's why it's called Lovely Monkey. It's just a beautiful jewel box shop, and it's just got a lot of love and TLC for the women. And hopefully Maxine the Ghost, I think, appreciates the cause that we're here to help women. So and men, actually. We've had men who've had breast reconstructive surgery who needs help as well. So men are welcome as well. Check them out. We'd love to tattoo you.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, what did you think? I know you weren't there. I was hoping you could have been there.
I know. Gosh. You know, I just got chills with every time she mentioned something. It's just, wow. My mind's kind of blown right now. I don't know what, you know, I love to hear these stories, you know, and for somebody so close to us to have like this personal experience, I think it was amazing.
And I really wish you could have been there because sitting there, it was funny because we were in their studio and, you know, you had all the band equipment around and we had this tiny little table that I set up and I put our recorder and two mics up and we just talked and it was cool.
We need to get an investigation at the
Tattoo shop.
At the tattoo shop. We have to.
I told her I want to.
I'm sure she'll let us.
She does. She wants us
please,
to do it.
Please, please, let us in.
As I said in the interview, when we were building that tattoo shop, she opened up two tattoo shops at the same time.
Which is crazy.
Which was unbelievable. And it was total rehab on both of them. The Lovely Monkey was kind of set up, but we still had to put in floors and paint and lights and... you know, everything.
You did a lot of work.
Yeah. And I did mainly just paint. You know, I helped him with the floors a little bit, but I mainly just painted.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in there the one morning, and like I said in the interview, but I went in the one morning and there were pictures on the floor, one broken, where they fell off the wall. And these pictures are put on the wall with drywall screws so that nobody steals them or, you know, which I don't see somebody taking their pictures while they do tattoos. But plus you got liability where you got to have everything secure and all that. Right. But they were on the floor. And that's crazy. Think it was Maxine because she didn't like those pictures or something.
Mm, yeah. And, you know, it's an old building. Mm-hmm. An old building is probably, what, 150 years old?
Yeah.
It's near the water.
Right across from the lake.
So, yeah, definitely some place that I want to get into. And I'm sure Dana has a million other stories she that does. I want to hear. Yes. I want to hear them, girl.
I want you there next time.
Yes, I will be there. I'll be there. I need singing lessons.
But it's cool. It's a, I actually really like that shop in Whitmore Lake. It's a small town. And there's a house across from it that I'd love to have. It's on the water, but it's on the wrong side of the lake. You know, I'm on, it's on the sunrise side where you're sitting on the back porch and you can watch the sunrise.
Yeah.
But I'm not a morning person. I'm a nighttime person. And you want to be on the other side where you get the full day's light.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
but you know, just as a public service announcement, you know, if you do know somebody who has had, you know, any kind of breast cancer or you know, maybe had a mastectomy, what the Lovely Monkey does is they do tattooing of, you know, your lady parts, just to as a what would you say, like 3D areola?
Just like she said in the interview.
Yeah, so if you know somebody who, you know, needs this service, definitely give them a call or check them out on Facebook or you know, just Google the Lovely Monkey in Whitmore Lake.
And it's
they really do provide you know, something life-changing for women.
It is, yeah. A few other things before we let you guys go. We're trying to try something different. I set up a phone number. It's a Google phone number. I will not answer it.
It's you'll just hear a voicemail. A message.
Yeah. And what we're going to try doing in the future, maybe a couple weeks from now or 3 weeks from now, is a question and answer show.
Yay, that's so exciting.
We want you guys to call this number.
Yeah, so we
want to
hear from you guys.
And ask a question. And, of course, we have to record it because I got to research it. It might be something I can answer right away, but it'll be fun. You know, call in, ask your questions. It's a local call in the Ohio area. I don't know if. But it really, anyway.
Everybody's got long distance on their cell phones now. It's
not a 1-800 number or 1-900 number.
Oh, my Lord.
Come talk to Joe for $30 a minute. But anyway, area code 740-720-0225.
Oh.
That's a Google phone number, which if you guys ever need a Google number, I couldn't believe it only took like 3 minutes to get this number.
Oh, nice.
So anyhow, call that, leave a message for us, and we'll listen to it, and we'll play it back on the show. If you don't want your voice on the show, say, Joe, don't put me on the show. Just here's my question.
Yeah, we'll read it on the air versus you asking it. But, yeah, definitely
be fun, though.
Question about the paranormal.
To play their voicemails on the, you know, as long as keep it clean.
Yes.
Keep it clean, family show, folks. If you don't,
I don't know about this show. It was a family show with my story earlier.
But if you don't want to call in, you could email us.
Yeah, definitely.
At 222paranormal@gmail.com. Give us your questions. Ask anything. If we don't know the answers, I'll look it up, or I'll get a hold of one of the people from one of the ghost hunting groups that we deal with, and we can ask them. But let's have some fun. Ask some funny questions.
Or if you have a ghost story, you know, a personal experience, you know, leave us a voicemail, and we'd love to hear it.
And we might even, you know, if you leave us voicemail about a story, we could even get you on as a guest.
Yeah.
And just have it on.
Yeah, definitely. So this is just something fun to do, and, you know, want to hear from you. So give them the number one more time, Joe.
Okay. Here we go. 740-720-0225. And I apologize for the 225 because 222 was not available.
Oh, man.
I tried.
Dang
it. Or 222paranormal@gmail.com. So other than that, folks, I hope you enjoyed the interview. I really enjoyed talking to Dana. We finally got to sit down. And, you know, it's funny because we talk about this stuff all the time on the boat and everything mm-hmm. when we're hanging out, but got to record her.
Finally, get her in the studio.
And why don't we do this? Let's play a little bit of The War by Dead End 5.
Okay.
On This Is Deadly, Dana Forrester on the bass.
Yep, and don't forget to check us out on Facebook. We are at Facebook.com/222paranormal. Check out our webpage at www.222paranormalpodcast.com.
Yep.
And come see us at Michigan Paracon. August 24th through the 26th, we'll be up in Sault Ste. Marie. Come visit our booth. Come buy some dowsing rods.
Yes, we got some new dowsing rods.
Come get your selfie with Joey.
Yes, and remind us to take pictures.
Yes, please.
We always forget to take pictures.
We do. Anyways.
Thanks a lot, folks, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye, lovers.